Hi, my name is Matthew Curtis Morey, and I'll be presenting the paper "To Wofinity and Beyond: A Scalable Architecture for Incremental Parallelization of File System Code." This is some work that we've been doing over the last decade in the file system performance team at NetApp, and I'm excited to be presenting this work to you today on my birthday. Wow, thank you. So first, just a very brief background. Data ONTAP is NetApp's proprietary storage operating system that runs on our storage servers. The file system inside of Data ONTAP is called WAFL, and file system operations are dispatched into WAFL in the form of messages. So we'll have a message to process a user file read or write, as well as hundreds of other types of operations. NetApp continues to release new platforms with more and more cores, and it's important for system performance to scale on these platforms in order for us to remain competitive. But unfortunately, WAFL is millions of lines of complicated code, and so re-implementing the file system to use fine-grained locking would require massive code inspection and massive code changes that could carry with it the risk of introducing locking-related performance problems or just locking-related bugs. Similarly, there are many great approaches already in the literature for scalable operating system design, but these typically rely on writing the code from scratch, which is not a feasible thing with WAFL. So when WAFL was first written in 1994, systems at the time had a single CPU, and so WAFL was single-threaded. So all these messages are coming in on behalf of clients into the WAFL file system, and a single thread is processing all these messages sequentially. So there's no need for serialization or extra serialization between these different messages. When we decided to parallelize WAFL, we opted to leverage data partitioning as much as possible because partition data doesn't require the addition of explicit locking into the code, and this minimizes the amount of code changes that we have to make. So in this paper, we present a series of techniques that have allowed us to meet both scalability and schedule requirements over the course of a decade while minimizing the required code changes at each step along the way by focusing on incremental parallelization. And when I say incremental parallelization, what I mean is that we can optimize common code paths that are performance critical without having to make any code changes in other code paths that are not performance critical. And in that way, we can pay the cost of parallelizing WAFL just a little bit at a time as is needed for performance. And it's important to note that all the techniques that I'm talking about today have actually been fully implemented in our production operating system and deployed successfully on over 200,000 systems. The first model of parallelism that we introduced into WAFL we called classical Wofinity, and it came in 2006. The figure on this slide gives a visual representation of what the model looks like. Basically, we take all user files in the system and chop them up into different pieces, fixed size chunks that we call file stripes. We also introduce a new set of message queues that we call stripe affinities, and those are shown in this figure as stripe 1 through stripe 5. The file stripes and user files are then rotated over the available set of stripe affinities. So for example, all of the orange blocks in the user files represent different file stripes that map to stripe affinity 1. And as a result, all the messages that come into the system to operate within each of these file stripes are routed to the corresponding stripe affinity, and the message is enqueued onto the message queue of that affinity. And so I keep saying the word affinity, and you're going to hear it a lot more today, but that's the basis of the name of the model, obviously. Wofinity is short for WAFL affinity. So as a core in the system becomes idle, the affinity scheduler can step in and dynamically associate an idle thread with some affinity that has runnable work in it. And then this thread will begin processing the messages queued up in that affinity sequentially. So in this model, we know that any two messages that are operating on the same data will be serialized within the same affinity, and so there's no need for explicit synchronization on the partitioned data in this case. Similarly, any two messages that are queued up in different affinities are known to be operating on different data, and so do not require synchronization. Unfortunately, a lot of the work that comes into Waffle does not map neatly to single file stripes. For example, creation and deletion of files are two simple examples. And to handle cases like this, we included also a serial affinity to process the work outside of the file stripes. And whenever the serial affinity is running, none of the stripe affinities could run, and vice versa. And so this introduces a potential performance problem when there's an excess of work running in the serial affinity, because all file system processing gets serialized. And this can limit parallelism and performance. But overall, this model at least parallelized reads and writes to user files, which were the most common types of operations, and without requiring substantial code changes, because we leveraged the use of data partitioning to minimize the need for explicit locking. And so in the end, this model was successful, and it allowed us to scale very well to the 8-core systems, which were the most that we had at the time. Unfortunately, an excess of work in the serial affinity prevented this specific model from scaling well beyond 8 cores. So as NetApp came out with new platforms with more cores, it was necessary to go back and design a new model that would allow us to extract more parallelism from the file system. So the next model that we came up with to overcome the excess of work in the serial affinity is called hierarchical affinity. And in this, we build on the fact that the underlying data itself is hierarchical in structure, as shown in the blue figure here. So we build a new set of affinities that we arrange in a hierarchical way to mimic the underlying data. Now, the specifics of what each of these affinities represents and the names that we've given them are not that important right now. It's all fine-tuned for the specific data access patterns in Waffle, but all those details are available in the paper. The important thing to take away here is that this hierarchical arrangement of affinities allows each affinity to inherit access to the data partitions that map to the affinities below it. So to say that again in a different way, each affinity is effectively assigned a set of permissions, that is, access to different data partitions, and these permissions that are assigned to each affinity are inherited upward in the tree. And as a result now, the affinity scheduler is responsible for ensuring that at any time when an affinity is running, none of its parents or children can run at the same time because they could conflict in the data that they access. Now, this scheduling requirement that we call hierarchical exclusion introduces an interesting performance problem that work running in these coarser affinities near the top of the affinity hierarchy, time spent in those affinities ends up hurting parallelism because it prevents the execution of work in the lower affinities. So the important takeaway is that common work that spends a lot of time running, needs to be parallelized more, and that means move down to the finer affinities towards the bottom of the affinity hierarchy. Each of the new affinities that we provide in this model, as compared to the classical affinity model that I showed previously, each of these new affinities is responsible for coordinating concurrent access to different types of data that required executing in the serial affinity in the previous model. So in that way, this new structure of affinities allows for further parallelization for different types of data in the system that all required serialization in the previous model. It's also important to note that this model is very friendly to incremental parallelization, which I've emphasized from the beginning is very important in Waffle, where we continually ship new platforms with more cores. And what I mean in this case is that work that ran in the serial affinity in the previous model can continue to run in the serial affinity in this model without requiring any code changes. And it's only as we add more cores or workloads change over time, and a specific message may become a performance bottleneck, that specific message needs to be further parallelized. And when that decision is made, we can parallelize that code, move it to one of these lower down, more fine affinities. And at that time, we only need to make code changes in the code for that specific message. And we don't need to make any code changes in any other message in the system. So the changes that are required at any step are very limited. So this figure presents an expanded view of the affinity hierarchy presented on the previous slide, and I'd just like to give a general idea of a few of the types of data that map to different branches of this affinity hierarchy. So of course, we retain the stripe affinities at the bottom to coordinate concurrent access to file stripes and user data. But now we've also created a division between client visible user data and internal system metadata, such that work operating on these two different types of data can run in parallel. And since each of these branches is not a parent of the other, the affinity scheduler will allow the concurrent execution of each of these types of affinities. Similarly, data in different volumes or in different aggregates is also independent of each other, and so this model allows those all such operations to run in parallel. So now we'll look at the performance advantages of hierarchical Wafinity over classical Wafinity. And to do so, we'll look at the throughput of both approaches while running SFS 2008 on a 12-core system. SFS 2008 is interesting because it contains a lot of metadata operations, such as create and remove. And in classical Wafinity, these operations had to run in the serial affinity because they do not operate within the context of file stripes. And so, in fact, we saw 48% of wall clock time spent in this classical Wafinity run running the serial affinity. That means almost half the time the execution of the file system operations were serialized, and that can be a big limit on the amount of parallels in the system. Whereas with hierarchical Wafinity, these same kinds of messages can now be parallelized further and run in the volume logical affinity and allowed to run in parallel with other operations on other volumes or even in parallel with internal system work within the same volume running in the volume VBN affinity. So through the use of hierarchical Wafinity in this benchmark, we were able to use three additional cores, and this extra parallelism that's provided translates into a 23% increase in throughput. This graph evaluates the ability of hierarchical Wafinity to exploit all the cores available on our high-end systems today. So to do so, we graph the core usage of six key benchmarks on a 20-core system. And along the x-axis, we have increasing levels of load from 1 to 8. And the important takeaway here is that under heavy load, for example, at load point 8, we are able to use an average of 19 out of the 20 cores available on the system, which we're very happy with that. Despite these successes with the hierarchical data partitioning only model, there are still some limitations that come up. In particular, some types of important workloads need to access two different blocks, and in these cases, the blocks may map to different affinities. So this figure on the slide gives an example case where that's a problem. So if we had a single message that needed to access both a user data block that mapped to this blue stripe affinity, as well as a metadata block that mapped to this yellow affinity on the right, the message would have to run in the aggregate affinity shown in red. And now this is fine. The message can run there safely without requiring any code changes, but the problem is, as I said earlier, this is a coarse affinity high up in the hierarchy, and so time spent running in this affinity limits parallelism in the system because all the affinities below would be excluded, prevented from running. So to deal with this scenario, we introduced a new type of a new model called hybrid Wafinity that builds fine-grained locking within the existing data partitioning framework. So on the left, in the traditional data partitioning only model, access to any particular block would require being in one affinity or one of its parents in order to ensure serialized access to that data. Whereas in the new model, we allow particular blocks to be accessed from a collection of affinities. And that's shown in the figure on the right. And so if we take the example of the same message that has to access these two blocks, it can now run in the stripe affinity shown in yellow and blue, in that the user data block can continue to be accessed using data partitioning alone in that stripe affinity, whereas the metadata block can be accessed from any of the yellow affinities, including the one that has access to the user data block. As a result, the message moves from the coarse aggregate affinity in the traditional model into the very parallel stripe affinity in the new model. We've also provided lock-free access to these same blocks from certain coarse affinities so that messages that are not performance critical can continue to run with poor performance in these coarse affinities without requiring any code changes until that message is observed to be a performance problem. But I should also emphasize that The vast majority of blocks in the system continue to be accessed and protected by data partitioning alone. It's only in these narrow cases where messages have to access two different blocks with different affinity mappings that we even need to consider adding in fine-grained locking in this model. So now we'll look at the performance advantages of hybrid Wfinity compared to the previous hierarchical Wfinity, the data partitioning only model. And to do that, we'll look at the throughput of both approaches on a sequential overwrite workload running on a 20-core system. And so here we show hierarchical Wfinity throughput in blue and hybrid Wfinity throughput in red. And along the x-axis, again, we have increasing levels of load offered to the storage server. So sequential overwrite is an interesting workload in WAFL because all new writes to disk will go to a new location. And that means that in an overwrite workload, we're generating a huge number of block frees. And as a result of this, certain file system metadata needs to be updated to reflect that this space is no longer used. And in WAFL, there are two such files that need to be updated. And blocks in these two files can map to different affinities underneath the red affinity I've shown on the slide. So as a result, using data partitioning only, hierarchical Wfinity ensures that these block-free operations run in the volume VBN affinity, which is fairly parallel, but it's not the most parallel affinity we have available. With hybrid Wfinity instead, these messages performing block-free operations can be further parallelized into the what's shown in green, the VVBN range affinity, by protecting one of the two file system metadata blocks using spin locks and the other using data partitioning. And so this extra parallelism becomes important once we reach sufficient load in sequential overwrite. So for example, at load point 6 and beyond, the hybrid model is able to far exceed the throughput of the other model, and that comes on that comes from the use of 6 additional cores on this 20-core system that translates into up to a 91% increase in throughput. So in conclusion, I've presented a series of techniques that have allowed us to incrementally parallelize the WAFL file system over the course of a decade, in particular, meeting both schedule and scalability requirements along the way. And primarily, we focused on data partitioning in order to minimize the amount of code changes that are required at any step. However, we've also developed a model that allows us to, in narrow cases, add fine-grained locking into the data partitioning model to further parallelize work that did not map well to the data partitioning only approach. And further, this paper also provides a little bit of insight into the internal workings of WAFL, a high-performance production file system running on hundreds of thousands of customer systems. Thank you.
All right, thanks for Arieti, University of Chicago. Thanks for sharing your work. You mentioned that you could scale up to 20 core, and today you could get 64 core or maybe hundreds of core easily. Could you comment on, like, in the near future, to what scale you could go this to? And then the second thing, can you comment also on the impact to latency, whether you have additional latency overhead?
Okay, great questions. So the first question is about scaling beyond the 20 cores that we've evaluated so far. So at the time when we first implemented this approach, 20 cores were all we have available. Of course, now systems have more than that. And so we've run experiments. We intend to ship systems with more cores than that. So we're already working to get the best performance we can out of those systems. So the problem we run into isn't with the architecture itself when we add more cores, it's just that specific messages become bottlenecks. We spend too much time in agar and serial, the higher up coarser affinities on more cores. And so the work, we do have to put in work to scale to those systems, but it's mostly about parallelizing the messages and moving them farther down in the hierarchy. The second question was about latency. I could have shown the data here for latency as well. I think it's in the paper, but typically that's also dramatically reduced through this approach.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Isha from MongoDB. So it seems like the required lock granularity is reflected in the tree structure, but rather than taking the locks, you use queues. So what do you do if you need to take an action after one of the writes? Do you use callbacks or something else?
Okay. Can you repeat the last part about that, about callbacks?
Oh, yeah, sure. So you have these writes that are queued up, and I'm assuming there's no way to access them after you put them on the queue. So I was wondering, how do you take an action after that write has completed?
So you mean, how do you notify someone who is waiting to perform access to this data? How do you notify them that that has completed? So there's no mechanism for that in what we've done. What we allow is, so all the reads and writes to the data that we have, there's no ordering guarantees. So whoever gets to the CPU first will be scheduled. If the client has any requirements about the ordering of operations, then that would be done at above the layer of Waffle anyway. So it's just sort of first come, first serve once it gets into Waffle.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks.